Monday, May 16th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, I want to deal with the same issue from three different vantage points. That is taking a look at the bill that the Democrats tried to pass in the U.S. Senate last Wednesday, the Women's Health Protection Act. Harry, today I want to take a look at the bill. Tomorrow I want to take a look at the political fallout. And then on Wednesday, I want to spend all 10 minutes of our podcast discussing how the Christian is to respond to this situation. Harry, last Wednesday, a Democrat-led bill to guarantee abortion access nationwide failed to advance in the Senate. Vice President Kamala Harris presided over the vote on the Women's Health Protection Act. It needed 60 votes to advance, but it died 51-49, with West Virginia Democrat Senator Joe Manchin joining all 50 Republicans voting no.
This cultural revolution that is being promoted by five elements of the cultural elite, big business, big government, the academy, that's the entertainment industry, and then fifthly, journalism and the media. And it was never more on parade than in the reporting leading up to this vote and the reporting after the vote. Even the most conservative of the newspapers, the Wall Street Journal, while maintaining a conservative perspective in their editorial page, allowed editorializing to leak into their news reporting. They basically had an outline with an interesting headline.
Abortion rights bill backed by Democrats fails in Senate.
It failed to even have a majority when reality is it would require 60 votes to get past the filibuster rule. Secondly, the Democrats did not vote in solidarity. They lost one of their main voices, Senator Manchin from West Virginia. The headline should not have given the implication that the Democrats voted for it completely, because they didn't. They lost Manchin, and they purposely framed the bill knowing that they would lose Manchin's vote, because he had made it clear it wasn't just Roe v. Wade that they were attempting to codify. They were going beyond Roe v. Wade. The name of the bill is fictitious also. We are well aware that over half, because of sex selection abortions, over half of the babies that are killed in the womb are women. Tom, what's also interesting is the political pragmatism and the abandonment of the new ethic informed by the LGBTQ movement in this administration, where they speak of pregnant persons or birthing persons. They don't want to use the term women, although only women can have babies. What they're trying to make room for are the women who identify as trans men who then give birth and claim that that's actually a man giving birth. But for the sake of political reasons, they dropped that kind of language that, of course, they are still committed to, but they dropped it in the entitlement of the bill by calling it a Women's Health Protection Act. My point is simply because of the cultural elite and their commitment to this culture of death and depravity, it is very hard to get accurate reporting. First of all, the Democratic Party could not hold Senator Manchin. Secondly, two reliable votes on this issue they lost because of the bill's overreach, and that is Lisa Murkowski from Alaska and Senator Collins from Maine. For complete analysis, let everyone know that they voted against it because they said it went too far, that it went beyond Roe v. Wade, in a way that they couldn't support it, but that they are committed to trying to word a bill that would actually protect Roe v. Wade, but they couldn't support this one because it undermines parental rights, it undermines religious liberty. While I am grateful that this bill failed to achieve the level of votes needed to overcome the filibuster, but I'm also grateful that it did not get the majority. Yet the lockstep of the Democratic Party, except for Senator Manchin, is revealing in terms of what was actually being attempted in this vote. The reality is Senator Schumer was fully aware of what this vote would be. Senator Manchin had made himself clear, and so had Collins and Murkowski. So why did he push it? Because it was a political movement I personally think it's not going to do what they thought it would do or what they want it to do. They wanted to get every senator online for this vote and get the vote recorded in order to have this as the main issue in the upcoming midterm elections. From the very moment that the majority opinion on the Dobbs case was leaked, we now know that if the judges maintain their present posture, that there will be the overturn of Roe v. Wade and the overturn of Casey versus Planned Parenthood. We knew this was coming as a political strategy because the very first thing from the White House and from this administration after the leak was not a condemnation of the criminal act of the breach of legislative protected protocol for the Supreme Court, but the president came out electioneering saying, please remember this in the midterm elections. Well, there's a reason why. There's a lot that he and the Democrats don't want people to remember at the midterm election. Right now, the cost of living has risen for everyone over $100 a month. For the cultural elite, that's nothing. But for the vast majority of America, that's something. Well, that's not what they want you to remember. Therefore, they seized this. In fact, I think the very leak was for the purpose of making this a political issue for the midterm election. But then they made the misstep, I believe, of overstating. Instead of protecting Roe v. Wade, which, by the way, Roe v. Wade, that was written by Justice Blackmun, put this artificial division of pregnancy, because it's 9 months, into three trimesters, and you could have basically abortion in the first 3 months, but then you had to have a medical reason for the health of the woman, which, by the way, became pretty much anything would come under that category of the health of a woman, and then finally an even higher threshold in the third trimester, so that there was room for restraints on abortion in Roe v. Wade. Clearly, this bill removes all of those restraints. This bill, you can have an abortion anytime, anywhere, any place, including the delivery room, which leads us to infanticide. It removes any issues of religious conviction or conscience. For medical personnel, they will all be required to participate. Thirdly, it removes parental control. I believe that actually, instead of having a vote on a bill to codify Roe v. Wade, they actually went so far beyond Roe v. Wade that they have given the talking points for pro-life candidates, and that if you elect Democrats, you lose parental control, you lose the First Amendment, and you lose freedom of conscience. That's where the Democrats would take you. So I think by making this bill an overreach beyond Roe v. Wade, they actually set up the talking points that will work against them. But Senator Murkowski's and Collins' statements should raise a flag for American citizens who desire to affirm the life and protect the life of the most helpless individuals and not be brought into a society where the unwanted, the inconvenient, and the imperfect can be exterminated within the womb. I think there's something that you need to realize. This can very easily be brought back up in the next session of Congress. The bringing back of this bill simply awaits the results of the next election, the midterm elections. The defeat of this bill has this handed to the Democrats an issue to override the quote-unquote table issues affecting the American public through the policies of this administration, or has it actually been such an overreach that it has provided the talking points for those in the sanctity of life to present their position, which would maintain freedom of conscience and parental rights and the First Amendment protection of the free practice of religion. Tom, we're going to take a deeper dive into the bill itself tomorrow. There are five key points in this bill that unleash a genocide upon the preborn itself.
We'll deal with that on Tuesday's edition of Today in Perspective. As we close out for today, let me remind you that it is easy to subscribe to Today in Perspective. Simply go to your podcast icon, type in Today in Perspective with Harry Reeder. Each and every weekday, we'll automatically download to your device a new edition of this podcast, a great way to stay in touch. We'll do stop by again tomorrow, Tuesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.